Hello, everybody, and welcome back to my podcast, Special Education Information. My name is Joy, and my companion today is Sterling. He enjoys contributing to the conversation, so I hope you enjoy listening to his thoughts as well. He is my African Grey. I know I have not been around in a very long time, and I have a really good reason for it. And that is that I signed up and started classes to get my doctorate in special education, of course. And this last class that I took was on the theory of how people learn. And I had no idea that there were so many different ideas on how we learn as a human race. And we did the reading in the class and took the tests, but the teacher mostly focused on our research papers, which was a project that went the entire term from week one all the way to week eight. And that is actually happening again this term, so I don't have nearly as much time to put into this as I really, really want to. I do enjoy doing these. Anyway, the paper that I wrote, I think, is actually a very valid and ongoing paper and has been a problem at least since I was teaching, and probably a little bit beforehand at least. And that is, the title of my paper was The Impact of Teacher Burnout on Student Achievement. And that is exactly what it sounds like. What happens, we get all these teachers that get in there, they're excited, they want to teach, they have ideals and dreams and wishes, and they know they can do this, an accomplishment, if only they had the right kind of support. And they get a couple years in, and they just go, no way, ain't happening, and they run off into a career that actually pays six figures. Can't really blame them for going after a six-figure salary, but some leave and don't go into an expensive salary. They just go find a job that's got a lot less stress. People leave this career at about 50% within the first 3 to 5 years of teaching. They just can't deal with it, and for a whole bunch of reasons. I have to say, I am quite proud of how this paper turned out. Not just the work itself, which of course I'm obviously very proud of. That was a lot of hours of work. Worked way late into the night, several days in a row, to try to get this accomplished. But also the way it just looks. It's all laid out like a professional article. It has an abstract section, an introduction, conclusion, key terms, everything it has in there. And so I've just, I gotta say I'm a little bit proud for producing my first piece of doctoral work. And anyway, so to go on, the topic again was the impact of how teachers burning out affects students and what they can accomplish. And I'm going to go through this a little bit because I do think this is important. And I think if you're in education in any way, you are seeing this happening to our teachers, is that they're burning out so quick. And which I didn't go over in my paper because I didn't have the space for it, but I ran into during the research, was that the teachers are not coming into the teaching system. And what I mean by that is that teachers are not going into teaching. People who have that potential personality to really step up and introduce children to the world of education and what we have to offer kids, they're not coming into the system. So we are short on teachers, and teachers are leaving. And then the education system's falling apart. So if you're out there and you're wanting to be, maybe I'll go into teaching, maybe I'll go into nursing, both of which are sticky and very difficult fields, but you hear what's going on in the education system right now, you think, no, I don't want to be part of that. There's so many different things to want to avoid, and I'm sure you're hearing it in the news constantly. And guess who almost always gets the blame? They don't even always blame the school district. They seem to just almost automatically drop it onto the top of teachers' heads. And the teachers take the blame. And maybe it's just they're running the curriculum that they've been told to run. And they have to run what it is. And I also ran into where there were principals that were expecting all their fourth grade teachers to have the same curriculum on the same days for all the fourth grade classes. Same with the fifth grade, same with the third grade. And life just doesn't work like that. I mean, A, the personality of the teachers don't work like that. And B, students just don't work like that. You may end up with maybe 5 students in your class that are another language, and they are holding the class back somewhat because you're having to translate to those kids how to do the homework or how to do the schoolwork, and they just aren't getting it. And so in the meantime, the other kids are kind of floundering around waiting for you to help them. As to what the solution is to students that are English language learners, I didn't even go there, didn't go near it. But it's just sort of a fact that you're going to end up with situations in each classroom that are going to cause them to either slow down the curriculum or speed it up. So principals asking for teachers to all be on the same page every day is absolutely ridiculous. I mean, when I was teaching and I only had a few kids and I had lesson plans laid out for each kid, I didn't always get through the lesson plans for that day. Sometimes it'd take me 2 days to get through a lesson plan. And that's just the way it is when you're teaching. And if you're not willing to be flexible like that, then you're going to lose students, period. There's just students are going to fall behind. And the kids that are ahead, just through their own nature, they're going to fall asleep and fall behind because of that. So there's just no happy answer to that other than maybe, I don't know what the happy solution to it is. I'm not a principal, so I'm not even going to state a maybe. I think that's going to be up to the principal and the faculty. Ha! I started reading into the abstract and I caught a major mistake there that my teacher chose to ignore. She had to have chosen to ignore it, or she just didn't read this section because it's an obvious mistake. How embarrassing is that? I guess that's what happens when you read it when you're not exhausted on 5 hours of sleep for 2 days. Anyway, the points are all still valid and the research is all still valid. And, you know, talking about how teachers burning out and they often leave within the first 5 years. So what happens then in the between time? What happens from them going from, I love teaching, this is my ideal thing in the world, I absolutely want to do this the rest of my life, and they go into their classrooms and they stand there and they look at the empty seats and they see so much potential just sitting in front of them before they even get the children into the room, and their hearts are fluttering a little bit and nervous a bit, you know, it's your first time sitting in front and being totally responsible completely. You don't have a backup teacher like you do when you're an intern. This is all you, and your lesson plans are written, and the kids get in there, and then it's just go, 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 and you do, and you go, and you go, and you go, and then the principal comes up and says, oh, this is due, you need to have this completed, and then that's due, and the following week it's that's due, why aren't your lesson plans completed till the end of Friday, and you just have all this grading you've got to get done, and all of this starts to pile up and back up, and it just keeps going throughout the entire year, but you're determined, you're gonna get through this. You know the first year is the hardest of teaching. It always is the hardest. Hardest at anything you do, first year is hardest, so it kind of keeps you going. But you're getting more and more kind of flustered because the parents are kind of getting on you a little bit. Maybe you haven't gotten all the homework turned, sent home with the kids. And, well, maybe you're behind a bit on your lesson plans, but you felt that getting the kids' work graded was a higher priority. Oh, well, this week it's going to have to be the lesson plans. Maybe you can do them for 2 weeks out, and the kids' grading can be done when you're done with all of that. So anyway, it's things along those lines. If you're a teacher, you understand what I'm trying to say. If you're not, you'll just have to take our word for it. Now, let's say you get to the end of the year, you're tired, you're worn out, you're glad it's summer, you're glad that you got a month or so to recover, and you're taking deep breaths now and doing meditation, just making sure all is chill out. And so you start your second year and you're a little more wary, but hey, you know what's going on this time. Now you know you got to pace yourself with those lesson plans and you got to pace yourself with the work going home. And then you find out let's say they've done a curriculum change in math up at the district level, and now all of a sudden you have to learn a new curriculum as you are teaching it and as you are writing your lessons plans and as you're grading. You got all that up against you for one math book, and it's totally different, let's just say, because of course it's going to be. So you have that going against you, but it's okay. You'll figure it out. You'll spend your recesses reading them, and you'll get the hang of it. You will. And then the principal comes to you and says he wants you doing lunch duty recess instead of the snack recess. So that's longer, and that's less time for you to study up on the curriculum. But you can do it. You know you can. You know, we're a quarter of the way through the school year. And let's just say it just keeps going like that. We're just one little thing after another. One thing by itself, no big deal. Another thing by itself, no big deal. You start piling those things up and they start becoming a big deal. And all of a sudden your entire life is about your job, is about teaching. And teaching stops becoming a calling, and it starts becoming something that just kind of drags you down. And something you almost kind of are tired when you get up in the morning knowing you're going to go teach. But every so many weeks you stop, you kind of take a retreat for yourself, you recover, you get back in there all ready to go. And let's just say this kind of pattern just keeps going for 3, 4, 5 years. And maybe you just never quite recover. And maybe you really want to, but it's just not happening. And so now what happens with the students when all this is going on, when you're trying to figure out this new math curriculum? What's happening to their understanding of math? It's not your fault. It's not your fault necessarily, but you got to learn it to teach it. And you got to learn it the way they want you to teach it and not the way maybe you want to teach it, because you got to stick to the book. And it's just so much, so many things like that. I get it. I get it. If it helps you and it helps you feel any better, or maybe it makes you feel worse, this is a problem going on all over the world. It's not just the United States. It's all of the United States. And it's China. And it's Australia. And it's just all the European countries. They're all dealing with it. It's amazing that this is going on all over the world. So what is with it? What is going on with all of our teachers burning out? All of them, all over the world. Hi, people, let's see, we should be doing something about this. This is such a problem that even in the United States, $2.2 billion are being spent because of teacher attrition. Can you imagine that? $2.2 billion, with a B, billion dollars are being spent because teachers are leaving their careers as teachers and leaving all these openings and hardly any way to fill them because teachers aren't stepping into the system. And we are spending money trying to get teachers in that we could be spending on the students directly. So right there, you got a problem with your student being affected by teacher attrition or teachers burning out. Then you have the problem of filling the position that the teachers are leaving behind. And they're not having an easy time of it because there aren't teachers stepping in to take over roles. And so they are getting to the point now where they're taking teachers that are maybe certified for PE and sticking them in teaching math. That is a no-no. That is a huge no-no. You can imagine why that is a no-no, but it is also legally a no-no. You can only do that for so long, and only if that teacher is working on getting their certificate in math. They also have teachers that are teaching on preliminary credentials, and I did that for 5 years, and I did that because I came from Arizona, but my credential in Arizona was valid. It's just, it didn't transfer to California. And so in California, I had to teach on a preliminary license and go back to school for another 4 or 5 years. And I only did one class a semester. And can you imagine that, though? We're having a teacher shortage, And they could have said no to me teaching because I wasn't fully up to being credentialed in California. So I wonder how many teachers are floating around out there that could be stepping in and would willingly come to teach if they didn't have to go back to school for 5 more classes. Yeah. Anyway, let's move forward because that's a bitter subject. For a lot of teachers, that's a bitter subject. And can you imagine? I'm thinking right now. What it must be like to be a PE teacher, want to be a PE teacher, but get told by the principal, oh, you're going to go teach math for a while. What would that be like going, oh my gosh, I know nothing about how to teach math, or even if it's maybe geometry up in the high school level, how to teach geometry in particular. Maybe they barely even remember their geometry when they went to school. And maybe they took only one level of class in college that was math. Who knows? But can you imagine being told that? Oh, by the way, you're teaching math next semester and you're going to teach geometry. How long until you leave that position? Okay, so burnout. Burnout, teacher gets just filled with dread every day. They can't deal with it anymore. They can't deal with what's going on in the classroom with the kids because you have not been a good classroom manager because you have been floating on the edge of burnout, in and out of it maybe, and so you have not been managing your classroom as well or as efficiently as you should be, and so the kids are acting up. That makes you not want to be there even more, which makes you not want to put the energy into it more, which means you're not managing your classroom very well and you're not teaching efficiently or effectively. And so what happens? You finally say, forget it, I'm done, I quit, and you throw your chalk down. Okay, the highlighter for the overhead. You throw it down, and you slam through the door, and you go away, and you never come back, and you abandon all those kids behind you because you are fed up with them. And the faculty, and the administration, and the districts, and everybody, you're out of there. You're never going to come back into the classroom again. Okay, you're gone. That's a burnout. That's a big time burnout. Most teachers just kind of fizzle out over summer and quietly quit and move on. And that leaves the principal and the district kind of running around trying to find a teacher to replace you when you leave. The thing is, though, is that there are kids that you affected deeply and they grew attached to you during at some point of the year. And those kids, they really learn to care for you and like you. And when you start getting grouchy and grumpy at the entire class, they're going to take that personally. And those kids may start disliking school because of your attitude. As you go into that classroom door and you start yelling at them before you even finish closing the door behind you, then when you leave, you've abandoned those kids in their minds, not maybe in yours. And technically, every year we change over kids and we get new kids, but we affect the kids. We make a difference in their lives. And so when we just walk out or we just abandon them or we disappear off the campus, it affects those kids. It may not seem like much, but it's a lot to them. And they'll talk about that. And I know they do. And here's when another problem shows up. Low socioeconomic status, or SES. Low socioeconomic status is SES. And you have low and you have high. And the kids in the lower socioeconomic status, the lower SES, they are the ones that get walked out on the most. The teachers have a hard time handling the different type of, the different type of cultural values that tend to be in the lower SES areas. They tend to be a poorer area, hence low SES. And as a result, the teachers don't always know how to work with kids from that area. And so they get burned out a little faster. Sometimes it's because they're trying so hard to meet all of the needs these kids have. Their food needs, their material needs, their book needs, their academic needs, their emotional needs. And you can imagine if you're a teacher with 20, 30 kids all in that area and you're trying to meet all of those needs, you're going to get worn out really, really quickly. But how do you find that balance? Because you're a caring person, you want to be there for them and you want to help them out. And that's just what you do. But at the same time, you keep doing it, you drain yourself dry and you'll end up leaving or at least transferring to a different area. And they've shown that teachers that have low self-efficacy in the low SES areas end up having higher self-efficacy in the higher SES areas. And some of my research showed it was a cultural difference. Some showed it was a money difference. Some showed it was white versus black. The white teachers seemed to think that the black students were more troublesome and difficult to deal with, and so didn't want to deal with them anymore and left. I think that's unfair. I've worked in several different low SES districts. I didn't have any difficulties with them for the most part. The one difficulty I did have was with the secretary in this one school. She just wouldn't talk to me. She wrote notes to me for everything until the end of the last semester, and then she started talking to me. I don't know entirely what that was all about. I am pretty sure I know, but it's really between her and I guess at this point, this many years later. But otherwise I found the kids fine, mostly respectful. I didn't really notice much of a difference. But in both cases, I was teaching kids one-on-one and not as a classroom. So I cannot speak for classroom teachers in those cases. I can just say I didn't have any problems on my personal side of things. So anyway, that's the gist of my paper. That was actually only the introduction to give you an idea of how long this paper turned out to be. It has 26 references. I got to learn how to do APA for journal articles and books. So lots of stuff to have learned, and I'm going to be learning more this term. This term, I am learning about the philosophy and history of education, going all the way back to Aristotle, Socrates, Plato, and so on and so on. And hopefully I will have the time to share some of that with you during the term instead of having to wait all the way till the end. If not, I hope you give me some patience, and I will share it when I can. Promise. Have a good day or a good night.